Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, September 21st, 2014. You're listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening. Live from Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, President Robert Mugabe will this week attend the 69th session of the UN General Assembly in New York, which is convening under the theme Delivering on Implementing a Transformative Post-2015 Development Agenda. The Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, PTUZ President Takavafira Joe, questions the sincerity of a call by Police Chief Augustine Chihuri for the Education Ministry to review its policy on banning teachers from providing extra lessons for pupils.
We want to congratulate him for seeing what you have always seen, that it is important that teachers give extra lessons, holiday lessons, particularly to slow learners. So the consumption that teachers are mercenaries who simply want to teach extra lessons because they want to milk parents, because they want to shortchange students, is neither here or there, or is a fabrication of the truth and reality of the education system.
APEC's Council Chairman Richard Gundani says the mid-term monetary policy presented by Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa did not have the interests of workers at heart. Gundani says they will convene a meeting next week to review various issues, including the failure by government to honor its promise to award civil servants non-monetary incentives.
We have agreed that at the end of next week, National Joint Negotiating Council is going to meet. And among other things, talk about this, as well as talk about the 2015 budget proposals from us, the workers' side.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. President Robert Mugabe will this week attend the 69th session of the UN General Assembly in New York, which is convening under the theme Delivering on and Implementing a Transformative Post-2015 Development Agenda. UNGA President Sam Kutesa of Uganda said UNGA 69 has an historic opportunity to formulate a transformative post-2015 development agenda. He said it is the responsibility of the world to ensure that adequate means for implementing the agenda in terms of finances, technology development, and transfer and capacity building are mobilized. Three high-level thematic debates on the post-2015 agenda will be convened this week to address means of implementation, gender equality and empowerment of women, and strengthen cooperation between the UN and regional organizations, and the peaceful settlement of disputes and strengthening. A high-level event on combating climate change to add momentum to efforts to reach a global agreement under the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC, in 2015 will also be convened in New York. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says climate change is the biggest threat to the existence of human beings, adding that this is the time for results. He says the UNGA should establish a set of sustainable development goals and an agenda to eradicate extreme poverty, commit to tackling climate change and leave a greener, cleaner planet, prioritize human rights and promote peace and security for all. Ban, in a press conference ahead of the leaders' speeches this week, called on UNGA to open its eyes to the rising tide of intolerance and work together towards principled and effective action. Ban said his goal for the UN Climate Summit, which will be held Tuesday with world leaders, is to mobilize political will for universal and meaningful agreement next year in Paris and to generate ambitious steps to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. President Robert Mugabe will be accompanied by a number of ministers, amongst them Tourism Minister Muzembi and Environmental Minister Xavier Kasuku Were. Kasukwere told Studio 7 over the phone that the UN Climate Summit is important as it will help find solutions to climate change-related problems like drought facing Africa every year. The Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, President Takavafira Zhou, is questioning the sincerity of a call by Police Chief Augustine Chihuri for Education Ministry to review its policy on banning teachers from providing extra lessons for pupils. Zhou was reacting to a call by the Police Chief Augustine Chihuri Friday, who made the call while speaking at an awards ceremony at Morris Depot in Harare. Chihuri called on the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education to revise its stance on the issue of extra lessons, as the decision to ban them will affect many children. The Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education banned the extra lessons and the payment of incentives to teachers. We speak to Zhou on the issue.
We are worried that the comments on the education system has become a free-for-all, where you have now even police commissioners commenting about the state of the education system. It is something appalling, it is something surprising. If you hear the Minister of Education commenting about issues of defense, commenting about the issues of police officers, we did not expect that if the country is serious, that we will hear education policies enunciated by a police commissioner by the name of Augustine Chihuri. However, we want to congratulate him for seeing what was always seen, that it is important that teachers give extra lessons, holiday lessons, particularly to slow learners. So the conception that teachers are mercenaries who simply want to teach extra lessons because they want to milk parents, because they want to shortchange students, is neither here or there, or is a fabrication of the truth and reality of the education system, where we have slow learners, where we have a lot of these classes with the high teacher-pupil ratio, in which some of the students would not have grabbed some concepts, would need extra lessons. So we congratulate him for that. But all the same, we are worried that education issues are thrown from left to right without really fulfilling whatever people are saying. Because the concept of lip service is something which we don't take seriously, particularly from politicians and people who don't have nothing to do with the education system.
But do you see the Minister of Education, Mr. Dokora, taking this calling up? Do you think he'll be able to meet the challenge given to him by Mr. Chihuri?
Minister Dokora may try as possible, but we have heard a lot of enunciation of policies from Minister Dokora without consulting teachers. And the speed at which he has been going has been so terrific, and it turns in the wrong direction. But at this juncture, what teachers want in Zimbabwe is not mere rhetoric, is not mere politicking. At political rallies, at funerals, at Heroes Acre, we have heard so many things, be it in Parliament, Heroes Acre, even by the president. But so many of these announcements has never happened. But you are urging Zimbabweans and the ministers and even the president of Zimbabwe is that the time for political rhetoric and lip service is over. Now teachers want to see vision turned into reality. Teachers want to see practicality rather than idealism. We have been promised so many things, like duty-free cars, like land for farming, like land for accommodation, like review of salaries and conditional service, and nothing has happened. So we are tired of people who speak so nice or indicate that they are turning right when they are turning left. We want people of action. So we are really tired, and teachers want to see delivery, delivery, and delivery, and nothing else. We don't want lip service. We are tired of that.
That was PTUZ President Takavafira Zhou in Berengwa. Apex Council Chairman Richard Gundani says the midterm monetary policy presented by Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa did not have the interests of workers at heart. Gundani says his council will convene a meeting next week to review various issues, including the failure by government to honor its promise to award civil servants non-monetary incentives. Gundani speaks to reporter Junga Kandemiri on the issue.
The Apex Council meeting that we held on Wednesday this week was a successful meeting. However, it was a meeting which was not happy because of the midterm fiscal policy review statement, which was recently announced by the Minister of Finance and Economic Development. If I may quote from part of the statement, the fiscal policy statement has a glaring omission on the welfare of civil servants. The policy as read is a clear action of government taking with the left hand the few dollars it gave with the right. Clearly, the midterm fiscal policy has left civil servants poor in that, number one, taxation on phones and airtime tariffs will deplete disposable income. Number two, increased duty on used cars will disadvantage the poor civil servants. And also, we observe that the increase on fuel is likely to trigger a host of other increases, which will further erode the disposable income of the workers. So what this means is that while we are chasing after the poverty datum line, we are afraid that this poverty datum line might be running away, might be a mirage which is disappearing in the horizon because of new price increases that will have been triggered by the above examples that we have.
Are you going to take any action with regards to this?
What action we are going to take is by way of pursuing procedures, the legal procedures that we have in place. We have a process that we are undertaking through the National Joint Negotiating Council. And we are aware that the last meeting that we held in July was a meeting which was committed wait for this policy statement review. Now that it is out, we would like to go back to the National Joint Negotiating Council. So that as a council, we table our concerns and we also get clearer explanation and more detailed information from this council. And I'm happy to say, as we speak right now, we have already agreed that at the end of next week, National Joint Negotiating Council is going to meet. And among other things, talk about this as well as talk about the 2015 budget proposals from us, the worker side.
That was APEX Council Chairman Richard Gundani speaking to Jonga Kandemiri. This is Studio 7, live from the Voice of America in Washington. We are going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. I hope you are all having a great weekend. Today, I will be featuring speakers from the USAID Frontiers in Development Forum this past week, which featured a wide range of topics, all focusing on ways to eradicate poverty. Among the events was a panel focusing on targeting the needs of women and girls in programming to end extreme poverty. Among the speakers were Grasa Michelle, founder of Foundation for Community Development and Grasa Michelle Trust. Grasa focused on the importance of uplifting the girl child and made an important point that all girls and women can achieve and uplift themselves to great heights. Let's take a listen.
For us to be here in Washington, sitting and sharing our thoughts with you, it will only happen because our families made a very strategic decision, one single decision in their lives. It was, as girls, sending us to school, keeping us at school up to the age of many of them, they went to university, and giving us the opportunities which then allow us to be sitting here talking about what we are talking about. We are no different from any rural girl like myself. All the rural girls and women in Africa, they could achieve exactly the same kind of levels if their families had made the same decisions as ours.
Another one of the panelists was Abigail Muleya. You may remember her as she is a Mandela Washington Fellow. Abigail, who is a co-founder of Zubo Trust in Binga, said in working with women in Binga, she has learned that it is most important to hear and allow girls and women to speak and open up about their situations.
Let the people affected talk. The people whom are considering to be poor, the poor communities, let them come up front and talk about their poverty and also their better place to talk about how best they feel they will come out of that situation. It's not up to the donors or us development practitioners to get there and tell them what works and what doesn't work.
I spoke to Abigail on the sidelines of the conference. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
I really appreciate that I spoke on this panel, and something that I've been working on ever since the CLE program started, I've tried to revisit my projects, the projects that we're doing and with my organization back home, and try to identify where we are really missing it, how we are going wrong. And something that I learned in the process was there are models that we've done before in trying to empower women that have worked. And for some reason, we did not really pursue them up to the maximum because sometimes we challenged with resources. But I feel these models need to be replicated. And we just worked with a few sections. We need to impact on more women. This is where I'm taking it to. And also looking at the panel that we had, that poverty really affects women and girls differently from men and boys at household level. We need to really go deeper and look into that and see how the girl child is benefiting from our programs and where we are missing it and where the gap is. And also, apart from the organization, say at personal level, I feel it's my responsibility to sit down with the girl children, those that are interested, and mentor them and on some of the life transforming skills, how they should approach life. It's not all about marriage. And if you're poor, you don't necessarily have to escape into marriage and think that's a permanent solution to your problem. I really need to sit down with them so that we see that aren't there any innovations that they can take up and get income, even whilst they are still young. Get started and do something and be able to advance with their education.
And you spoke about the issue of mentoring. Is that something you hope will help some of the young girls that you work with?
Definitely. So mentoring is really very important, and it's something that I had not thought as a tool to try and empower and educate someone. I didn't really think of that angle up until I got here. And the way I'm going to do it, one of them could be having groups that I'm going to set up, and you know, we meet once in a while, we talk about issues that people think we should discuss about, and we try and come up with possible ways of trying to tackle them. I don't really have all the solutions to their problems, but I feel the more I talk to them, the more they feel inspired sometimes.
Thanks everyone for joining me today on the Youth Forum. That was Abigail Muleya, Mandela Washington Fellow and also co-founder of Zubo Trust, speaking at the Frontiers in Development Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next Sunday.
Thank you, Tatenda, for the Youth Forum. This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. President Robert Mugabe will this week attend the 69th session of the UN General Assembly, which is convening under the theme Delivering on and Implementing a Transformative Post-2015 Development Agenda. The Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, President Takavafira Zhou, is questioning the sincerity of a call by Police Chief Augustine Chihuri for the Education Ministry to review its policy on banning teachers from providing extra lessons for pupils. That was the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, September 21st, 2014. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Standakile Mhlanga. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.